And we've come to a verse of scripture that is a really strong verse in 1 Peter concerning Christian suffering. As we have dealt with the subject of Christian suffering, you know what? There's a sense in which that as God's people that we've gone through a season here and still are of difficulty, of trial, of suffering, as we have had not been able even to come and to meet together, and that is a severe trial for God's people. That's not something that we ever want to have happen. In fact, it's something I didn't ever think would ever happen in my lifetime. And I think there's a whole lot of people that probably a lot of God's people think the same, feel the same way. It felt like it just never would happen, and we would meet no matter what. And yet at the same time, when you give consideration to what is taking place, there have been times where, for good reason, for weather reasons and such as that, the Lord sometimes does have a way of shutting us down in a sense, and that's okay. And and at the same time, He's drawing us close to Himself, and so we need to recognize sometimes the providence of God, and He knows what we need more than we do. And we might think that the Lord has lost control of things, the devil's got a hold on things or something like that. And the truth of the matter is that God has never lost control at all, that He is absolutely in control of all things, and that His promises are still just as sure as they've ever been, that He's working it all out to His glory and to our good, and we can rejoice in that as God's people. In the message today, I have in the message almost 400 verses in the message today. And so I'll just tell you that. And so it won't take very long. But at the same time, I just want to let you know that that's what I have. You'll figure it out later. But anyway, today we're looking at Christian suffering and considering Christian suffering. Some of you said, don't know, maybe I should put my mask back on. I put my mask back on and hit the exit or something. Don't do that. Don't do that. You'll see what I mean. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We can, as God's people, and the title of the message to start with is Suffering and Our Mind. Suffering and Our Mind. Look at what it says there in verse number 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, he says. Think it not strange. He's talking about our mind here and how we think and what we think about things as we look at this passage. How we view the suffering, perhaps, that the Lord has brought us through, even the COVID virus situation and whatever else, and the situation with George Floyd and everything revolved around that, and as well just other kinds of something every one of us endure at times. We look to this passage and we're thinking about our mind. How do I think during these times and during hard times? And so the truth is, from other scriptures we know, the truth is that we can be overly concerned about earthly matters. In Matthew chapter 6, and we're not counting this as one of the 400. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, he says here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How you think matters. How you think about things and how you treasure things in your mind, what things you treasure in your mind, what things you put the greatest value on in your mind is going to affect your heart. It's going to affect your feelings. You're going to feel a lot of times based upon how you think, how you what you're thinking about, what things are coming through, going through your head. And the worldly condition focus of the Word of Faith movement today has been a big reason for many suffering Christians to be very discouraged and defeated, feel very defeated. Because the teaching is that somehow, that if you have faith, that everything in life is just going to work out. That everything's going to go hunky-dory for you. It's all going to be ice cream and candy if you just have faith. Well, the fact of the matter is that faith is trusting God for our outcomes. It's trusting that He knows what's best for us instead of dictating to God what we want. There's a big difference. And so as God's people, we're those that trust God. We depend upon God for the outcome. So we come to Him, and we come boldly. But we come to Him, and we're always in our prayers, Thy will be done. It's always whatever Your will is supersedes anything that I might desire, anything that I might present even to You, that Your will is superior, and I want to see Your will done. I desire to have this, but at the same time, Your will be done in the matter. And we notice in the Scripture, there's a replacement in this text, back in our in 1 Peter, this introduction here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, and bless us now. We need Your help today as we look to Your word. Strengthen us by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the replacement here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And then verse number 13, I'm just skipping some. But rejoice. He says, don't think it's strange concerning the trouble and the fiery trial and the trial, the hardship that you're going through. But rejoice. That's kind of difficult. It's hard. It's not an easy thing. But there's a replacement here. It's interesting that the Lord isn't all about what not to do. The Lord isn't just all about here's what you can't do or what you're not to do. But rather, He's also about what to do that's better for us. What to do that's going to be better for us. Think it not strange, but rejoice. Rejoice in the face of suffering? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's to try you? Rejoice in the face of suffering? Seems like that's what Peter is saying here. Seems like, I think, rather clearly he's saying that here. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. When you're thinking, don't think it strange, think it unusual, think it uncommon, think it unique, think it novel that what you're going through, but rather rejoice, he says. So Paul told the Philippians, we all know the book of Philippians is all about rejoicing in the Lord always. And he told the Philippians the fact that He's always with us should cause us to always be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord because He's with us. And that our hearts and minds are going to be kept in peace by God as we quit worrying and be thankful. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7 there. Philippians 4, 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Any of you ever heard that verse before? Any of you ever quoted that verse before for somebody else that's going through trouble? Ever done that? Ever looked at that verse and say, that's a good verse for you because you're going through a lot of suffering and you're going through trial and you're depressed and such as that. How many of you have ever done that? I think probably a lot of us have. But then when we're suffering, it's not necessarily applies. Then in verse number five, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Notice that last phrase. The Lord is at hand. He's here. He's with us. So he says, "Be careful for nothing. Be overly anxious or overly worried about nothing." Yeah, good luck. That's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough one. Be overly anxious about nothing. Don't be overly anxious as God's people. But in everything, here's what to do with that carefulness. Here's what to do with those worries. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace," here's the promise, "the peace of God which passeth all understanding." Why? Because he's with us. The Lord's at hand. "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," he says. He'll keep us. Then Paul proceeded to tell, then Paul also to the Colossians. Okay, turn on another couple pages here. We're still not in the 400 yet. Told the Colossians to set their affection, and this is in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 2. He says, "Set your affection," what you value, your love for things, or your love for people or things, "set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth," he says. Not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. What are we thinking about? What kind of things do we think about? Verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful," thinking. How are we thinking? Verse 17, he says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Can you be thankful for everything? Can you be thankful under any condition, under any circumstances? I think that's what he's referring to. We can always be thankful. Any of you don't have anything to be thankful for this morning? Raise your hand. We've all got things to be thankful for, right? How many of you got more than two things to be thankful for? Okay, yeah. How about three? Maybe three things to be thankful for? I think I could go on and on, and I think all of us would probably, maybe we would start wavering if we got to 50 because we can't think of that many things, or something like that, but we got a lot to be thankful for, right? We got tremendous. But you know what we're thinking about when we talk about being thankful? You know what we're thinking about? Our mind is now focused on the more important things. Our mind is now focused on things that are good and that are a blessing and that are beneficial and that are the things that the Lord actually wants our mind to be focused on. He wants us to be a grateful people. He wants us to be a thankful people. And so he wants us to be focused on the things that cause us to be thankful and not the things that cause us to worry, not the things that cause us stress, not the things that cause us to be just beat up. He wants us to have our minds in a right place. And so look at the text this morning. And let's be more diligent in looking at the text here. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved," okay, "believers have a promise here." He's speaking to the beloved, those that are the Lord's people. Peter's referring to them. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange." Okay, think it not strange. Our condition or situation is not entirely unique. Now, there's some ways in which what I'm going through, no one in the world has ever gone through, right? That's true. But the Lord doesn't want us to focus on that. He wants us, and when we look at this passage, he says, don't think it entirely unique what you're going through. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Our situation is not entirely unique. Others have suffered similarly to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, okay, you can start the 400 if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and looking at verse 13 here, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and all of you know I'm not going to have 400 verses in the message, but you might be wrong. There hath no temptation taken you, verse 13. There is no trouble that you've ever gone through. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is, what's the next word? Common to man. But such as is common to man. In other words, it's not unique. He says, the Lord's saying concerning this promise that he's making, there's no temptation taking you except what's common to man. In other words, people have it all the time. They go through things, difficulties all the time. Maybe not exactly like we have, but they go through similar difficulties. But God is faithful. Now that's a key in having the right mental attitude about whatever we're going through. By going through the COVID-19 problem. God is faithful. You say, well, but it seems like God has lost control. No, 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 no. God doesn't lose control. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you. He won't even allow it to happen. He will not suffer you to be tempted, to be tried, to go through troubles above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, doesn't necessarily going to take the trouble away, but he's faithful and he'll give you everything you need to endure it. He'll give you the grace to endure it. See, the focus today sometimes out there is on the fact that faith is something that helps us avoid troubles. And the fact of the scripture tells us that faith redirects our thinking and redirects our attention off of our troubles. It causes us as God's people to think about the person that is so good to us. To think about the one who cares for us and who will get us through any situation in this life, who's with us under any circumstances, and we rejoice in who? In the Lord. We rejoice in Him. Not rejoice in our circumstances, but we rejoice in Him for what He's... So COVID-19 shouldn't totally defeat God's people. COVID-19 should not cause us to be in dismay. Even the riots that are going on, even today, they should not cause us as God's people to be in utter dismay. God's still in control. God's faithful. And any of the troubles that come along, He has a way to care for us and meet our needs. You know, we'll get to it in a minute, but how strong is our faith if our faith only takes us so far as to be rejoicing when times are good, when everything's going well? Is not faith what it is, and is it not that which Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about all through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, of how that it helps us get through times of difficulty, great trial? How strong is your faith? Your faith is seen, and the strength of our faith is seen not when everything's going well, but when things aren't going well, when things are not like we would have planned them to be. And so, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. There are fiery trials, torturous trials sometimes that we that we're going to face in life. Torturous in different ways, but torturous trials that we're going to face. And at least as far as our mind is concerned, we are going to be overcome. We're going to be overwhelmed by those trials. And he says here, hey, those are fiery trials, and they're terrible, and we're going to face them in life. And they come in stages. Sometimes we trade places enduring fiery trials. Sometimes it's me going through a fiery trial. Everybody knows that I've gone through fiery trials. Some of you, all of you have gone through all different kinds of fiery trials. And they have a time. And we swap around at times, right? It's one of us is going through a fiery trial and then we're not. And then somebody else is. And so it's a fiery trials do come and they go around, and we have to encourage one another during those times of fiery trials. And he says here, don't think of it as though some strange thing happened unto you. We're not the only person with such a trial, but oh boy, it's a terrible mindset. It's an awful mindset. If we become overwhelmed, that our mindset ends up being that which says some strange thing has happened unto me, and there is no way in the world anything can be done about it, and there's no grace sufficient. We just have to be careful as God's people. I've seen people that are just these doomsday people on Facebook and other places where you read these news readings, these news things of what's going on right now. And I'll tell you what, you can really be depressed. You can set yourself in front of a television. I don't care if you're watching CNN or Fox News or whatever news channel. You can set yourself up in front of a television and watch that news feed. And I've done it myself, or I turn on the news on the radio, and I sit there and I listen to it long enough that you know what happens? That I just get absolutely depressed. And you can't help but do that. Why? Because your mind is pretty weak. Our minds are weak. Our minds are... It's easy for us to just get, we get depressed. Somebody says, whatever's in, you know, used to be years ago, it was whatever was in print, you believe it because it's in print. That was stupid. That's not true. Everything that comes over the Facebook and everything that comes over the, you know, you got to be careful. You got to have a filter for all that stuff. And sometimes what is best is just to get out of it. Clear your mind from it. Because our minds are weak. Our minds are sensitive. And so the Lord is saying through Peter, he's saying that not this way. He starts out by saying not this way in verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think that way. Don't think you're the only one. Don't think that this is that what we're going through right now, no generation's ever gone through. Or don't think that everything that's going on right now, that it's just as dark and dismal as the whole world is falling apart. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's to try. But, verse 13, where's your mind? Rejoice. But rejoice. How are we to view? What's the right view? Well, how are you going to keep your mind, your heart and mind in a state of peace with the Lord and that you'll be strong in times of difficulties and trials? Rejoice. It doesn't take much faith, as I said, to rejoice when things are going well and we're not suffering. But rejoice. Why? Why rejoice? Why, as a believer, should you rejoice? I mean, just the biggest thing. Why, as a believer, should I rejoice? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know the Lord. That's enough. I'm going to heaven. I've got eternity with the Lord. I've got treasures, spiritual treasures, that most of the world doesn't have. If you're a child of God, you got spiritual treasures that most of the world does not have. What do you value in life? What's your value system in life? Because your value system in life is going to dictate how your heart is. Your value system, what you treasure in life, is going to dictate how your heart is. If you just treasure everything going well in this life, if you just treasure the fact that your finances are on top and never have a problem, if you just treasure the fact that you are a person that never has problem with any kind of relational problem, if that's what you treasure, if that's the only thing you treasure, then when things go wrong in those situations, then you're going to be defeated. That's just the way it's going to be. Your heart's going to be defeated. You're going to feel like everything's falling apart. God's no longer in control. If your treasure is just your perfect health, good, important things. But we've got to watch that. That our value system is on the big things. It's on the things that are the most important things. Why? Why should we rejoice? Rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, you can look at this verse of Scripture probably a couple of different ways. And it's a verse that I've looked at in both ways. One is it says as a child of God, I'm to rejoice when I have to take and bear a little bit of what Christ had to bear for me. When I have to taste a little of Christ's sufferings and what he endured for me. But there's another way of looking at this verse too that I think is appropriate. And that is, rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. You got the results of what Christ has done for you. You've got eternal salvation. You have eternal life. You have total forgiveness of your sins. You have deliverance from the wrath to come. You have deliverance from the wrath of God for your sin. We aren't just partakers of our own suffering. We're partakers of Christ's suffering. In other words, by his suffering, his far greater than ours, his suffering far greater than ours, he saved us from our sins. He saved us from the wrath to come. And our partaking doesn't end here. Rather, as he says here, partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, when's that? When Christ comes, when we see him. When his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. Our being partakers of Christ doesn't end here. Rather, Christ is coming back for us to reveal his glory to us when we're going to be beyond our wildest dreams, thrilled by the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. And we are partakers. Why? That when that happens, we may be glad with exceeding joy, as he says here. Exceeding joy. So what's he telling us about this? Rejoice now because you got exceeding joy. You have some exceeding joy that exceeds our moment of trial so much that we anticipate it and rejoice in it, and rejoice in the Lord and what he's going to bring us to, what he's going to give us. We're rejoicing in the fact that we're saved, rejoicing in the fact that we're the Lord's people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, have we gotten close to 400 yet? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians, we're going to cover several of them here, of the 400. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. He says, we are troubled on every side. Paul is expressing his own experience, what's gone on in his life, because he had gone through a lot of trouble on his journeys. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Paul is saying it's okay to be troubled, it's okay to be perplexed, just not distressed and not in despair. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus, that we're all dying. Physically speaking, we're all dying. Physically speaking, in a sense, I'm more dead today than I was yesterday, right? I mean, that's just true. That's just true. He says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raiseth the Lord Jesus shall raise us up, or shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. All things are for your sakes. God's working all things out for our good. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Thanksgiving of many. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What's he saying there? There's a distinction between the outward man and the inward man, he says here. What's the most important to you, the outward man or the inward man? What's the most important to us? What do we value the most as God's people? Is it the outward man? Paul says, hey, I perish. I die daily. He says, I'm getting worse. He says, we faint not, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something far better. The exceeding joy that Peter's talking about. He says it's in our future. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Oh boy, we can look too much at the things which are seen. And he says, but at the things which are not seen. What are the things that are not seen? Spiritual things. Do we treasure spiritual things over material things, over physical things, is where Paul is at here. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have, for we know, or chapter 5 and verse 1, we'll get closer to the 400, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we're looking forward to that. And we rejoice because of the rejoicing that's, in some sense, because of the rejoicing that's to come, but more so rejoicing because we know the Lord, because he's ours. Outward man, inward man, do we want to leave this life? I think about myself and leaving this life and departing this life. Whenever the time comes, whenever the Lord wants me to come, I'll be at least 130. But I know. Okay, I saw y'all rejoice a little bit, or at least you were making fun of me, or maybe you were just pitying me. Do we want to leave a legacy? Do I want to leave a legacy of only rejoice when things go well? Is that what I want my legacy to be? Only rejoice when things go well. Or do I want to leave a legacy of rejoice always because things are well with my soul? Rejoice always because things are well with your soul. Things are well with your heart. Things are well because your mind is on the things that God wants us to be focused on. Rejoicing. Okay, here's where it comes. almost 400 times, almost 400 verses in the Bible, do we find forms of the word rejoicing or rejoice. It's a lot, isn't it? And you know, what you find when you look those things up, those are the, by the way, those are the 400 verses I said I was going to have in this message. The 400 or so verses, what do you find? What do you suppose you find when you look those verses up? What do you think you find there? The Lord saying, be careful about rejoicing, because that can get you into trouble. You know, no, it's not what you find. He doesn't say, thou shalt not rejoice. He says things like, we quoted a little earlier, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We find things that say, where's my mind and where's my thinking? Where's my, you know, as a child of God, what do I need to be doing? What do I need to be focusing my attention on as one that's the Lord's, one of the Lord's people? And I have some things that I need to be putting my attention on. Think on so many times in the scripture, especially in the epistles, we read these words, think on these things. Paul and others have said, you know, don't worry about these things, but think on these things. Jesus Christ himself said it. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he says, set your affection on things above. He says, as a child of God, that we need to treasure the right things, that we need to put our mind on the right things, and the Lord is going, he's going to take care of us. The peace of God is going to keep us. He'll keep us as his people. So, looking at that verse of scripture today, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think it's novel. Don't think that what you're going through is, no one's ever been through anything like it. Nobody's ever been through exactly the same thing that I'm going through. There's never a generation that's ever been through COVID-19. Never happened. But, they've been through a lot of things. There have been generations that been through all kinds of things. People have gone through all kinds of changes in government. They've gone through all kinds of changes in life. And God is still on the throne. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is still in control and in charge of all things. And as God's people, while we worry and while we concern ourselves with things, what do we do with those things? We go to the one that can do something about them. And so as we look to the passage today, let's be encouraged and let's rejoice that we know the Lord. We know him. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to look into your word, speak to our hearts through it. Help us, Lord, to set our affection on things above. Help us, Lord, not to worry overly, anxiously over the affairs of this life, but, Lord, help us to set our affection on things above. Help us to be focused on spiritual treasures that we have in Christ. And Lord, if we don't see them and we don't understand them yet, help us to grow in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to see what you have done for us as we grow together in the Scriptures and as we see the wonderful blessings that we all have in Christ Jesus. And we give you the praise and the honor and glory for what you do. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us back together. Thank you for the wonderful grace that sent our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die at Calvary to deliver us from our sins. We just praise you and honor you, Lord, for just the privilege of being here with these dear folk and that your goodness has been upon them. And we, Lord, rejoice and we are encouraged by everyone that's here today and just pray that you would bless that we might encourage one another. Keep us safe, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.